live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right, it is Friday, April 10th, 2020, and we are coming to you yet again on this episode of WKAR's Current Sports from my apartment, of course. We have been bringing you shows from my humble abode now for what is week three. The weeks seem to be really flying by now as I have hit a groove, I would like to think, when it comes to doing these shows from home. And I really hope you all are staying home. Again, we are still in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. And hopefully when you guys tune in at 1 p.m. here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM, you know, it's a bit of an escape for you all. You know, I can attest to that when it comes to my colleagues at WKAR, specifically Jody Knoll and Jamie Paisley, our classical musical host at WKAR. They do an amazing job of bringing you the music that you care about, and hopefully what they do provides an escape as well. In addition to current sports, providing you with some sports talk. We're trying here, and I can't lie. You know, I have to admit that this is not easy, and many other sports talk radio hosts out there, many other sports reporters who still have to go out there and put together a show on the daily. It's tough when you are hired to talk sports and there are no sports going on. You know, we've been talking about cancellations and the ripple effect that the coronavirus has had in the sporting world. That has been like the center of the show, right? But you guys have been hanging in there with us, and we've been getting some great feedback from you all. And I just appreciate you guys tuning in and day out here on WKAR's Current Sports. All right, so thank you so much for rocking out with me. Again, it is Friday. And I tell you what, I don't know what in the world is going on when it comes to the weather in Michigan. I should be used to it, I tell you that. I mean, you know, earlier this week, we're talking about 60 degrees, you know, a slight wind out there, the sky is blue, you hear the birds chirping, it feels certainly like spring is here and maybe here to stay. And then all of a sudden, on yesterday, you had snow, you had rain, you had hail, and then you had the sun coming out later in the day, just before the sun decided to go down and call it a night. Just weird. You know, hey, we're living in Michigan, all right? If you didn't know, you got reminded of that yesterday. So temperatures in the 30s right now. Highs will be, I believe, in the upper 30s today. And again, that's in comparison to being in the 60s earlier this week, all right? So we plan on warming you up with a hot edition of Current Sports today, as I will tell you about a certain transfer, another transfer for Juwan Howard's University of Michigan men's basketball team next season, UFC 249. It looked as though Dana White may have pulled this off, but then yesterday, you know, the rug got pulled out from under him. And that event will not be happening. I'll explain the details and you get my thoughts on that. And then we'll close the show with Reflection Friday. And I have a few things to say about the day that was in sports. No bigger sports story locally, though, in this state of Michigan than the death of Al Kaline. And it has been truly remarkable for me. I mean, as a 29-year-old, I didn't get a chance to experience Al Kaline at all. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to watch him. You know, he was before my time. But it has been certainly a treat to hear and to read and to listen to many, many tributes come out there concerning Al Kaline and many people putting in perspective what Al Kaline meant to their respective childhoods and what he meant to the game of baseball and the city of Detroit. So I'll touch on that in my Reflection Friday segment. So if you would like to be a part of the show, you guys know we do not have active phone lines in which you can call in and be a part of the show that way. But you can text us at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can leave us a comment on our Facebook page there. And you can also tweet the show. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or you can tweet the show at WKAR News. So also, I've opened up my email. If you want to shoot me an email at almartin@wkar.org, you can do that as well. Again, that's almartin@wkar.org, and you can respond that way as well. All right? But you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, I want to start here by giving a shout out to one of the outstanding sports information directors at Michigan State Athletics who has received a well-deserved honor, and she is such a joy to work with. Michigan State Assistant Director of Athletics Communications, Kara Fisher, has been named as the 2020 recipient of the College Sports Information Directors of America Achievement Award, better known as COSIDA. Now, the Achievement Award is annually presented to one associate or assistant media relations director in the university division and one in the college division who has made outstanding contributions to the field of college sports information, provided exceptional service to their institution or conference office, and have 10 or more years of experience in the profession. Kara Fisher certainly is well deserving of that honor. And, you know, for those who are Michigan State sports fans, of course, you guys know the athletes, you guys know the coaches. But really, the unsung heroes behind all of that are the sports information people. And they do such an amazing job at coordinating, you know, the schedule for all of these coaches and players, coordinating, you know, press conferences and media availability for, you know, coaches and players. It's amazing. And Kara Fisher is one of those individuals working behind the scenes that makes Michigan State Athletics what it is. And, you know, she's such a joy to work with. I remember when she got hired a few years back and meeting her, you know, she's always got a smile on her face. She is so down to earth. She loves what she does, and she is so deserving of this honor. So I wanted to give her a big shout out when I heard this news, when it was posted on the MSU Athletics website. I made sure it was mandatory that I mentioned this in today's show. So, Kara Fisher, congratulations to you. All right, Michigan State football landed a second commit to its 2021 recruiting class in 3 days. Ethan Boyd, a 2021 three-star offensive lineman from East Lansing High School, he announced his commit to the Spartans via Twitter on Thursday afternoon. That came after Davion Prim, a three-star running back from Oak Park, committed to Michigan State on Tuesday. We covered that earlier this week when Prim decided to commit. Boyd, 6'7", 285 pounds. He is listed as the number 22 recruit in Michigan, number 75 offensive tackle, and number 800 player overall in the 2021 class. That's by 247 Sports' rankings. His other offers include Minnesota, Indiana, Cincinnati, and Iowa State. Now, Boyd announced an offer from Michigan State on March 16th, just days after visiting campus, before in-person recruiting was officially shut down. Boyd is also teammates with Andrell Anthony, who is a 2021 three-star wide receiver and Michigan State target from East Lansing. So Ethan Boyd committing to Mel Tucker and his staff to play for Michigan State University. Awesome stuff there. Here's a player that got away, though, for MSU football. One of the top football recruits in the state of Michigan. He is planning to head to Happy Valley in 2021 as Detroit Martin Luther King four-star safety Jalen Reed announced his commitment to the Nittany Lions on Thursday evening. Reed is ranked number 8 overall in Michigan by the 247 Sports Composite and is number 6 in MLive's top 50 Michigan recruits list. Numerous reports had also hinted at Reed possibly committing to Michigan State in the days leading up to today's announcement, or through yesterday's announcement, excuse me, but Penn State remained a favorite for Reed throughout. Reed reportedly visited Michigan State just before the coronavirus stopped face-to-face recruiting. So he is listed at 6 feet, 190 pounds. He was a nightmare for opposing defenses last fall, able to line up at linebacker as well. He finished with 95 tackles, 10 tackles for a loss, 6 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, and 2 defensive touchdowns. Jalen Reed is a beast, and you can clearly see why Michigan State was vying for his commitment. But instead, Jalen Reed will be heading to Penn State. Again, you can't land them all. I love the philosophy that Mel Tucker is going with here. I'm going to offer as many top recruits as I can and hope that at least a few will bite. Okay, 247 Sports confirmed early yesterday morning that rising junior forward Colin Castleton, he will enter the NCAA transfer portal and will leave Juwan Howard's University of Michigan men's basketball program. That opens up a third scholarship for the staff in the last 48 hours. This follows David DeJulius' departure from the program on Tuesday and Wednesday's announcement that incoming freshman Jace Howard, who is the son of Juwan Howard, that he will walk on with the program instead of signing in April. Now, Stock Risers is Jake Waringarten and VerbalCommits.com. Those are the individuals that first reported the news, confirming that Castleton will intend to finish up his career elsewhere after two seasons with the Michigan basketball team. And Castleton, a former four-star recruit, ranked 91st in the 2018 247 Sports recruiting rankings. He chose the Wolverines over heavy interest from Illinois, along with Florida and Xavier. So there you have that. And also, I do want to expound upon the Jace Howard walk-on news. Jace Howard, again, he will walk on at Michigan next season. He is the son of Wolverines coach Juwan Howard, so he'll be playing right under his father. And he confirmed his plans in a text with the Detroit Free Press on Wednesday night. So instead of counting toward the 13-player scholarship limit, Jace Howard's family will pay his way for the 2020 and 2021 season. Other walk-ons include Duquees transfer Brandon Wade, Columbia transfer Jaron Faulds, guard C.J. Bard, guard Luke Wilson, and guard Rico Uzuna-Harrison. Howard, a three-star recruit ranked as the number 348th overall prospect in the 247 Sports Composite Rankings. He is one of five commits or signees in Michigan's number 4 ranked recruiting class. So this is actually pretty smart on the side of Juwan Howard here. Again, with him paying his son's way to walk on for the Michigan basketball team, it won't count toward the 13-player scholarship limit. So it opens up things there and allows for some flexibility on behalf of Juwan Howard and his staff. So I have more on that story in just a moment. I do want to talk about Ipsy's own Imani Bates, one of the top boys basketball players in the high school ranks in the nation, and he is in Michigan's backyard, again in Ypsilanti. He was chosen as this year's AP Player of the Year by a panel of 10 Michigan sports writers after averaging 32.3 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals while shooting 50% from the field and 37% from deep. He was joined on the AP Division I All-State First Team by Wyoming's Melanito McGee, Saginaw's Surreal Smith, Muskegon's Jarvis Walker, Detroit Cass Tech's Tyson Acuff, River Rouge's Legend Geeter. I love that name, Legend Geeter. Orchard Lake St. Mary's Lauren Bauman, Clarkston's Matt Nicholson, Waterford Mott's Isaiah Jackson, and Farmington's Jaden Atkins. So Imani Bates in some very good company there. The accomplishment for Bates added to a list of accolades as he also earned his second straight Michigan Gatorade Player of the Year award and another Ann Arbor Area Player of the Year award for the 2019-2020 season. He was also named a Naismith Second Team All-American and is a finalist for the Gatorade National Player of the Year. Imani Bates is very, very special, and I, like many of you, was certainly looking forward to watching just how far he took Lincoln High School this year after winning the state title in his first year leading that program. Okay, Detroit Pistons fans will get a chance to see Chauncey Billups. That's my Mason impression. Back on the court again on Sunday, seeing as though there is a horse challenge that will be taking place on Sunday, the NBA trying to desperately bring basketball fans like myself some kind of hoop action because there is no NBA basketball right now. So on Sunday, Chauncey Billups will be a part of the horse challenge that will air on ESPN. Participants in the challenge will be divided into two groups of four and will play in courts at their homes. They'll match shots of their opponents in a single elimination tournament style. After the first two games, the winners of each group will head to the semifinals. The winners of the semifinals will match up in the championship round. State Farm, who is sponsoring the event, will also donate more than $200,000 to charities working to fight the coronavirus pandemic. So maybe this brings a bit of a joy in your life if you are a basketball fan or an NBA fan. I'll be tuning in just because I miss hoops and I want to see something live and not just a bunch of replays. So a horse challenge, yeah, it's pretty cool, and it allows the players to stay at home and still participate. Okay, and as I mentioned at the top of the hour, UFC 249 will not proceed on April 18th, despite UFC President Dana White's efforts to move forward with the pay-per-view event. All other UFC events have also been postponed indefinitely due to the coronavirus pandemic. UFC 249 was scheduled to air on ESPN+. ESPN has a five-year contract as the exclusive home for UFC fights on its networks and pay-per-view services. White said ESPN told him it didn't want to do the fight, but he called the partnership strong and said he'll look forward to putting his next fight on the network. So Dana White was very adamant that he could get this thing done. He was even throwing out the proposal that, hey man, we'll fight on a remote island, all right? But not happening. So there you have that. I'll have more on UFC 249 in just a moment as well. Until then, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'll talk about Castleton, wanting out at Michigan and deciding to transfer. And again, I'll expound upon UFC 249 being put to a halt. We'll be right back, folks. You are listening to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Happy Friday to everyone out there. Again, stay safe. Don't go outside unless you have to. I know me personally, I definitely have to make a grocery run at some point today. I'm running low on groceries. But again, if it ain't essential, don't leave your home. Okay, I want to talk about one of our current sports quick hit headliners that really, really caught my attention because of what also broke news concerning this program earlier this week. And that is the fact that when it comes to Juwan Howard's program, this is now the second player that has decided to enter the transfer program and leave Juwan Howard's Michigan hoop squad. It was reported yesterday morning that rising junior forward Colin Castleton, he will enter the NCAA transfer portal. That opens up a third scholarship for the staff in the last 48 hours, because that news is in addition to the news that David DeJulius also has decided to depart from the program and enter the transfer portal. And then in addition to that, again, these are three pretty big stories coming out of Juwan's program. In addition to those two players leaving the program, Jace Howard will walk on with the program instead of signing this month. So Jace Howard, he is the son of Juwan Howard, and that'd be kind of cool, right? I mean, you got two basketball coaches, two of, you know, the two biggest basketball programs, college basketball programs in the state of Michigan, coached by Juwan Howard and Tom Izzo, and both of those coaches, and Howard and Izzo, will have sons that are a part of the roster. Very, very cool stuff. It was very cool seeing Stephen Izzo in his first season under Tom this year, and now you're going to have Juwan Howard with his son Jace on the team. And Jace is a little better. No slight to Stephen Izzo, but Jace is a little better than Stephen. He is right now ranked as a three-star recruit, ranked at number 348 overall in the 247 Sports composite rankings. So he is also one of five commits or signees in Michigan's number four ranked recruiting class. But, you know, first point I want to make here is that, you know, when it comes to DeJulius and Castleton, at the end of the day, you know, the transfer portal has really been a game changer, because if players aren't happy with playing time, or if players aren't happy with the relationship they have with the head coach, I mean, it could be anything. Maybe they don't like the city. Who knows? Maybe the food. I have no clue. At the end of the day, you know, the transfer portal has become a game changer for players who don't feel as though where they are right then and there is necessarily the right move for them, the right spot for them. It may not feel like home. You know, also, you know, speaking of transfers, you know, I talked earlier this week about Kayla Bellis of the Michigan State women's basketball team, who decided to transfer to BYU. You know, she's a Mormon faith, and, you know, BYU was actually on her target list coming out at Ithaca High School. And, you know, I heard an interview with Kayla earlier this week in which she talked about how, you know, BYU was one of her top choices before she chose Michigan State. But, you know, she never really felt home. And especially when it came to her faith, you know, BYU may feel more like home because she's around other believers who can help strengthen her beliefs and can help her through better than Michigan State. So, you know, you just don't know the reasons why players decide to transfer. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And when it comes to Colin Castleton, because he was a part of a really impressive 2018 class recruited by Johnny B. Johnny Beilein, of course, one of the best Michigan basketball coaches of all time, who dipped his toe in the NBA waters, didn't work out halfway through the year in his first season as head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. We all know about that story. But, you know, Colin Castleton, he was a part of that 2018 class of John Beilein. Along with Castleton came three other four-star recruits in Iggy Brasdakis, Brandon Johns Jr., the local kid, East Lansing High School, and David DeJulius. Three-star Adrian Nunez, rounded out a class of five promising players. And together, those players ranked as the number 11 class in the country. Very impressive stuff. And of all the names that I just mentioned, when it comes to Castleton, Brasdakis, Johns Jr., DeJulius, and Nunez, of all the names mentioned, only Brandon Johns Jr. and Nunez remain as Beilein, again, took that short trip to the NBA. So only Brandon Johns Jr. and Adrian Nunez are a part of that 2018 class, which, again, was ranked number 11 in the country. And, you know, I think maybe some of it has to do with the fact that, you know, you can't help but think about this. I mean, when you come to play for a particular program, you come because of the head coach. You know, there's some chemistry there. You like what he had to say in your living room while you sat there next to your mom and pop debating on whether or not you should commit to that coach. You know, you come, and when you do commit, you come for that coach. You like what that coach had to say. You like about what he touched on as far as your position on the roster and how you can contribute and help that school win. And when that coach leaves, it's like, all right, I don't know who they're bringing in. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. In the case of Brandon Johns Jr., you know, Brandon Johns Jr. last season really impressed me. I don't know about you guys. Brandon Johns Jr., because there were a lot of question marks surrounded around that young man, because Brandon Johns was one of, if not the best player here locally in the Lansing area during his final 2 years as a Trojan. And when he got to Michigan, that first season, he wasn't getting a lot of PT under Johnny B, riding the bench. You know, there were other players. I mean, sometimes it's just circumstantial. It's nothing personal. And because of the way the roster was laid out, Brandon Johns didn't get a lot of playing time. You know, when he did play, it was probably like 1 or 2 minutes, if that. And he wasn't contributing greatly because of that. But last season, Brandon Johns, apparently he impressed Juwan Howard in the offseason, and he showed that he could do some things, because Brandon Johns Jr. was not only contributing, but he was consistent and even in the starting lineup for the Michigan Wolverines. So it was really cool. It has been really cool to see, you know, the hard work paying off for Brandon and Juwan Howard, giving him a bigger opportunity. Sometimes it works out that way. New coach comes in and he sees something in you that the previous coach didn't. You have been riding the bench and boom, now you're in there swimming with the big dogs and making it happen. So for Brandon Johns Jr., it worked out. For others, it doesn't. And I tell you what, Colin Castleton, this kid has a lot of potential. He's got a lot of potential. I mean, we're talking about a 6'11" guy who can also shoot the three. I mean, that's what NBA scouts salivate at. That's what the NBA game is now. You know, you want to have a hybrid big man who can take you inside and outside. Somebody who can disrupt things defensively because of their size. Who can man the boards on both ends of the floor. Who can give you some buckets down low, but also can extend the floor because he can shoot the J. And it you know, reading what I read about Colin Castleton, he can do that. Now, he took over the backup center role behind John Teske after outperforming Austin Davis. But again, in that change of regime to Juwan Howard, Davis, he re-earned the role and even earned a fifth-year option from Howard. So Castleton was looking at this and basically saying, I mean, where do I fit in this? Davis seemed to move up in the board, and Castleton just doesn't want to sit there, collect dust, and just wait. I think that decision was probably the deciding factor for Colin when it came to his decision to enter the transfer portal. But check this, within 12 hours, to show you how much potential this kid has in the eyes of other schools, within 12 hours of his announcement, Castleton, he earned offers from South Carolina, Texas A&M, Virginia Tech, and Notre Dame. How about that? You can also throw in Stanford there amongst many others. That's according to Jake Weingarten. And Jake Weingarten, looking up his credentials of credibility, he's the owner of StockRisers.com, which is a hoops recruiting and college basketball site. And he has some insight here. He tweeted yesterday at 12:41 p.m., so just 19 minutes before Current Sports hit the air, he tweeted that Colin Castleton has heard from South Carolina, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, Stanford, Virginia Tech, quote, amongst many others. And that was after he entered the portal just 12 hours prior to. Pretty amazing. And again, it's because of his potential. I mean, 6'11", and you can stretch the basketball court like that. So I'm curious to see where he goes and curious to see the kind of player he turns out to be. So wishing Colin Castleton good luck as he enters the portal there. And before I hit this first break, I do want to give you my thoughts on UFC 249 being postponed. Because, you know, it's quite amazing to me because I'm still hearing people in the midst of this pandemic. I'm still hearing people not totally taking it serious, whose names will not be named right now. They will go unnamed as I talk about this. Because there are some individuals out there who are still like, okay, when can we get back to normal? I know you're dying for it. I'm pretty sure I got listeners out there who are thinking that very same thing. When can we go back to normal? Well, the curve seems to be flattening a bit. You know, what's a good date for that? And even though the curve is flattening a bit, it's still a very serious situation that we are in, which is why Governor Gretchen Whitmer here in Michigan extended the stay-at-home order to the end of this month, April 30th. And when it comes to the world of sports, you know, we're having this debate day in and day out, not week in and week out, day in and day out. We are trying to pinpoint a date that will allow for sports to resume again. But the thing about the world of sports there are so many logistics to try and iron out in order for us to try and bring back what we all enjoy. And we've talked about, you know, possibly having stadiums with no fans out there, having avenues out there in which, you know, we can still watch and have athletes compete, but no fans there. That would be the safer thing to do, right? But then there are the logistics of, okay, where do you play these games? If you play them at one central location, how do you go about housing all of these individuals? How do practices work out? Because you got to have these players practice as well. What about the medical personnel, like the trainers? I mean, there are so many things that you don't think about. I mean, sure, it sounds easy when you think to yourself, okay, yeah, just have them all in one location, have them all get tested, and we can play the games that way. But again, you don't think about housing. You don't think about the other personnel that all of these teams have. That's a lot of individuals traveling to occupy one center location. There's a lot of things. You can't just snap your fingers and have that happen. That's my point in saying that. Now, with UFC 249, it's a bit different because, I mean, you're talking about fighters, not rosters, not teams. So the player personnel is much, much, much more limited in comparison to major sports leagues who play with teams like the NBA, like the NHL, so on and so forth. But still, I mean, this thing is still very fresh. The death toll continues to rise on the daily. And shout out to all of our healthcare workers out there. I don't know how many times I can say that you guys are the true heroes in all of this thing. And everybody at the grocery store still showing up to work. You know, you all, you know, people working in the pharmacies, those who are still working for the greater public health, effectively putting your health at risk in doing so. Shout out to all of you guys because, you know, I just sit back and admire what you're doing right now. You all are heaven sent for sure. But, you know, I digress. I go back to my point here. When it comes to the UFC, you know, UFC 249, there was a glimmer of hope that this could happen for sports fans. But the announcement that UFC 249 will not proceed. It was scheduled to proceed 8 days from now on April 18th. It will not proceed despite UFC President Dana White's efforts to move forward with the pay-per-view event. It's the right move. It's too fresh. We're still dealing with this. And all other UFC events have been postponed indefinitely due to the pandemic. And this is exactly what White told ESPN. Quote, today we got a call from the highest level you can go at Disney and the highest level at ESPN, and the powers that be asked me to stand down and not do this event next Saturday. And it's the right move. You know, White was in constant contact with ESPN about this. And on Monday, you know, I brought this story to you on Monday. White told ESPN that he had secured a location in the U.S. to host weekly fights for at least the next 2 months. And he told ESPN on Thursday that he was ready to go at the Tachi Palace Casino Resort in Lemoore, California, near Fresno. But it's like, dude. I mean, I know we're starving for it, but you can't force this. And another layer to this is that, yeah, sports leagues want to resume because right now they're losing out on a lot of money. A lot of money that could be being made. And athletes are losing out, frankly, on a lot of money that could be being made. But it's bigger than that. And that's what the greater public still has to understand. That's what fans still have to digest and try to come to grips with. This thing is bigger than you and me. It's about our health as a society. And anything that puts that at risk, including holding a sporting event, where you're dealing with travel of the athletes and putting them in the octagons, there's still a risk there. And any kind of risk is not better than no risk. So I think it's the right move here. As much as I hate to say it, it's the right move here. And we just got to continue to be patient here. That's my only plea from the sports world right now and sports fans out there right now. Let's just continue to be patient. We've come this far. The only way we are going to defeat the coronavirus is by doing what the CDC says to do, and that's stay at home. Don't leave unless it's essential. Wash those hands. Continue to do those things, and we will eventually get back to your regularly scheduled programming. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll have Reflection Friday for you. You are listening to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. It is Friday, April 10th, 2020. And, you know, I also want to know, you know, maybe I can set up something where you guys can, like, leave me a voicemail. Because I miss talking to my listeners. I can't even lie to you guys. You know, I miss being in the studio, looking across the way at either Jack or Alec. I miss those guys. I never thought I'd say it. No, they're fantastic. I miss those guys. I miss Connor, all of those guys, man. You know, my current sports team, your current sports team. You know, I miss taking calls from you guys as well, talking to our listeners like Mike from Saginaw and Ray from Indiana. You know, Kirk from Grand Ledge, Austin from Grand Rapids. I mean, all of you guys, man. I really do miss it, and I really hope you all are holding up well. And for those who tune in on the daily, I really hope you guys are holding in well. You know, I've been asked a few times from listeners who I've connected with on social media, you know, how am I passing the time? And, you know, when I'm not, after I'm done preparing for the show in the morning and doing the show in the morning, I spend my afternoons either working out. I've been doing a routine of 200 push-ups, and then I have a pretty extensive ab routine that includes three different variations. You know, the thing about it, though, I don't have a home gym in my home, in my apartment itself. So, you know, I have to get creative here, you know, when it comes to lifting weights. I love lifting weights. And I've been using my camera tripod, which is relatively light for me when it comes to how much I usually curl. And I've been using that to curl. So when you have something that is low weight for you, you got to do high reps in order to get a really good workout in. So I've been curling. I kid you not. I've been curling my tripod. I do 5 sets of 70 curling there. And then I also can throw it behind my head and work out my triceps as well. So I get my bi and tri workout that way, along with my abs. And then I do push-ups for my chest. I try to do 200 push-ups a day. So that's what I'll be doing this afternoon. And for my cardio, I'll mix it up with burpees and jumping jacks. So just trying to stay healthy still, man, because it's so easy when you're at home to max tax and relax and sit back and watch Netflix all day while eating junk food. So find a way to stay healthy. And I'm trying to find a routine. I think I've gotten into a routine that works for me. I usually work out around 4. You know, after the show in the afternoon, I'll do some reading. You guys know I'm acting, and, you know, I've got 2 books I'm perusing through right now. I'm looking at them right now. Blowing the Bloody Doors Off by Michael Caine, the great Michael Caine, fabulous actor, one of the best of all time. I believe a 2-time Academy Award winner. He's got so many great tips. Also reading, I'm a huge Bruce Lee fan, so I'm reading The Bruce Lee Way by Tim Baker, and the foreword is done by Bruce's daughter, Shannon Lee. And also a book that I don't have by my side, so I can't shout out the author, but it's entitled Acting on Camera. So I'm reading all of those, man. I'm trying to stay productive. I met with my acting coach earlier this week and planned out some things for the next phase of that. And, you know, and constantly trying to think of new and creative ways to bring entertainment to you all, those who tune in to WKAR's Current Sports. So, you know, just trying to find some routine and you know, also I'm playing some video games. You guys know I'm a gamer as well. So playing a lot of Call of Duty and a lot of Madden NFL football. So holla at me. If anybody has Xbox or PlayStation, holla at me. And, you know, we can get down on some, you know, tweet at me, you know, at Al Martin, WKAR. If you want this work, if you want the business, holler at me and I'll give you my gamer tag. I can tell you right now, my gamer tag on the box is Al0770, AL0770, if you want to get this work. Okay. All right, folks. As we close out today's show, I do want to touch upon some things for Reflection Friday, reflecting on the week that has been or hasn't been during these times in the world of sports. And, you know, one of the stories that certainly jolted so many was the passing of Al Kaline. Al Kaline, nicknamed Mr. Tiger, baseball righty, right fielder, I should say, who played 22 seasons in the majors for the Detroit Tigers. I mean, anytime you talk about somebody who has played 20 plus years or 20 years for a respective franchise, I mean, of course that player is going to be beloved. You know, I immediately thought of Kobe Bryant playing his 20 years, because that's still etched in my brain, the passing of Kobe Bryant. He played 20 years with the Los Angeles Lakers, no other team. And you had that with Al Kaline. You know, us Al's are pretty good, right? I'm in no way comparing myself to the great Al Kaline. But, you know, for me, you know, when you look at Al Kaline's career, you know, he made his MLB debut June 25th, 1953. And his last MLB appearance was October 2nd on the year of 1974, all for the Detroit Tigers. You know, so that was before my time. That was before I was born. So it's been a treat for me to see many of our listeners out there and many people I know who are a bit more seasoned, who grew up watching Al Kaline or you know, got a chance to watch his entire career period, and to see the countless tributes of how much this man